to me enough is enough. Enough is enough.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Indie Wrestling Corner with another episode of Under the Ropes. I'm your host, as always, the queen of the indies, Tiffany. And today, bringing some promoter business, some big business here pretty much. This is one that I've been wanting to do for a while. So welcome, Matt Griffin. How are ya?
I'm killing it. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited. I wanted to do this interview a couple weeks ago, and then I had so much crazy shit going on, so I'm kind of like sad about that. But we got you here now, so I'm happy. So welcome
to the podcast. I'm excited to be here, especially after meeting you, spoiler alert, a couple weeks ago at Wrestling Open.
I know, it's so crazy. So yeah, so we're gonna talk about all this. So let me give the spiel to everybody that just tuned on in. So guys, if you're new here to the End of the Rope series, here I interview everything independent wrestling, whether it's wrestlers, promoters, referees, backstage. I got you covered. If you guys got any questions for Matt, please feel free, drop it into the chat, and sure, he'll be more than happy to answer all of your questions. And make sure you hit that like button, share button, all that fun stuff. If you're listening to this later, leave us some comments, some love, and all that fun stuff. So but yeah, so it's crazy that like we finally got to meet. But you know, let's backtrack a little bit before we get into like us actually meeting. So because I feel like you have such an interesting story that I really wanted to touch base on before we go into anything else. Is that like, so we were talking about it up at Wrestling Open, is that you're actually from Massachusetts. Now here mm-hmm. you are in Georgia, like, you know, so you went from there, you know, to like Massachusetts down there. So talk to us a little about your story with like, you know, where, you know, you originated from to where you are now.
So I grew up in the same house for 18 years in Massachusetts, and coming out of high school, I didn't want to go to college. I joined the Marines. I enlisted, and it was actually during my senior year of high school that I ended up going to my first independent wrestling show. So I was watching wrestling. It was, to date myself, 1996, which was the year everything changed with the NWO angle and WWF getting really hot, the rise of Stone Cold and everything. I went to a Killer Kowalski independent wrestling show, so I got to see what a high school independent show looked like without any pomp and circumstance, without any, you know, pyro, anything like that. I went to the Marines. I ended up stationed in Virginia, and I found independent wrestling. I found a promotion that was called IPWA in Alexandria, Virginia, just outside of the Washington, D.C. metro area. I met a guy named Q-Ball Carmichael, who would become my mentor. Before I even trained, before I took a bump, for about a year before that, I was going on the road with him. He would pay for gas. I would do a lot of the driving, and we'd go to Maryland, Pennsylvania, North Carolina. So my education in the business came long before I hit the ropes or took a bump. And it's funny because my connection back with Massachusetts came after I was trained. I would go home, and lots of people, when they go home, want to look for independent wrestling shots. And I was very fortunate. I met a few people, Rich Palladino being one of them, the venerable New England announcer, one of the nicest and greatest people you'll ever meet. If you ever go to a Rich Paladino announced show, please go say hello to him. He's great.
Yeah.
I also linked up with NWA New England. That was promoted by Jason Rumble. I wrestled Bo Douglas in the late 90s, probably 6, 7, 8 times. And I got to do some stuff that my mom got to come to. She refused to boo me, so she sit in the front row like this. It was hilarious. I said, "Mom, you got to boo me. I silence is the wrong answer." And so I had an interesting career. And, you know, when I would go home, I would try to touch base with them and do indie shots in New England. I was doing shots in Virginia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. And when I reenlisted in the Marine Corps, I ended up in Louisiana, which at the time was the absolute dog shits in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. I found NWA Wildside, and I got very lucky to get a chance. I took advantage of that chance, and I worked there on and off for 5 years. And I was very thankful to be one of the NWA Wildside guys, which was the most influential promotion in the Southeast.
Wow.
And then I ended up here. That's my story.
Let me give love in this chat. I see Captain Dave in the chat. What's going on, Captain Dave? Landon's in the chat. Hey, Landon. He goes, "Hi, Matt." Shiny Shoes is in the chat. He goes, "Rich the Goat. What's going on? Thanks for joining in." Heel Pops and Chair Shots. What's going on? My boys are over there. Much love. So, yeah, share the stream, you know, get some people in here. We're talking everything action, SCI, all that fun stuff. It was funny because Shiny Shoes, he did a stream like before the SCI, and I was in his chat, and we were like building of who was going to be in it, and like, no, I think you announced everybody, and then like we were talking about who's gonna wrestle who and who was going over. It was great.
So the funniest part about when we're, you know, after we've announced the first person, until we've announced the 16th person, I have to actually go back and check for SEI because we usually do one a week. Mm-hmm. And I have to make sure that I don't spoil something because we'll have like 6 people announced and I have to be like, wait a second, did we announce Timothy Thatcher yet? You know, like before I say who one of our key performers is, because we usually try to do them like once on Mondays or Wednesdays, and it's like, oh crap. So every year it's like a, I can't say their name because I literally, my memory is so bad. Don't take chair shots, kids. Don't take unprotected chair shots. And I have to go back and remind myself, did we announce this person yet? Or, you know, one time I was going to be like, hey, guess who's going to be in it? And they're like, you announced that person 2 weeks ago. Oh, shit.
You need a checklist. You have to keep like a checklist like before you announce it, like a little book or something, a little notepad. Like, okay.
I do try to plot it out by week so that I can, sometimes I'll go back and look at it. And thankfully, my co-promoter and booker and friend, Scott Hensley, is just amazing at keeping me on track, as are Dylan Hales and Jaden Newman. They remember the things that I do not.
Well, that's good. So shout out to you. Yeah, checklist. You need a checklist. You need like a little book. You got like Gina in on it. Like Gina, like help me out here. I love it. I actually, you know, it's funny, like a lot of these names that like we're dropping, like a lot of people have been on this podcast. So I still need to make Shiny Shoes to come on this podcast. We're gonna make that happen. I know like I took a break, so we're gonna make that happen like real soon. So definitely I'll be in your DMs harassing you too.
Do it. Harass him. You have my permission.
Seriously. All right. So anybody who's not familiar with Matt, like, you know, so again, we're talking action wrestling and we're talking SCI. So let's go in a little more depth about like the birth of action.
Yeah. Where should I start?
Wherever your heart desires.
Well, you know, even back to my wrestling career, like I stopped wrestling in 2007. I didn't have any sort of formal retirement. I didn't do any goodbye match. I didn't do any speech. I just was like, all right, I'm done. And I was basically done with the exception of one memorial show I did in 2010. I was done from 2007 to 2015. Mm-hmm. What brought me back was SCI. Mm-hmm. I went to the first SCI and I got to see people I hadn't seen in a decade. I got to meet a lot of new people. And it's funny, my partner, Scott Hensley, he told me that he had, when he was younger, reached out to me on MySpace and messaged me and was asking me questions when he wanted to get in. And I was like, was I nice to you? And thankfully, he said that I was, which is fortunate because we now book SCI together and he's a ring announcer at Action. That brought me back in, but I'd always, for my wrestling career, just thought it would be cool. I'd looked at buildings before in different areas where I'd lived. I thought it would be cool to book and promote, but I'm very cautious. I wanted to make sure it's the right scenario. Like, the first thing is the building. Like, I have walked into buildings, and it's like, nope. You know, there's just, it's just like, there's no chance. I don't think it would work here. I don't get a good vibe. And I try to be like that, as conservative as possible in that manner, because I want to make sure whatever I do is going to be successful. Mm-hmm. I was literally walking around the lake in the middle of my town with my, at the time, 3-year-old, and I saw a building behind the library, and I just was like, I don't remember seeing that before. And so I went up, and when I was going up towards the building on a Sunday afternoon, I literally, the reason I was going was, is this big enough to hold a wrestling ring? Mm-hmm. Is this big enough to hold a wrestling show? And it just happened to be open. The rec center manager was in there. I walk in, we start talking, agree to meet for lunch, and we jived. And I was like, yeah, I think this would work out. I booked it for like 6 months away because I wanted a ton of lead time to prep because I'd never run a show before.
Yeah.
And I think every wrestler needs to run a show because you will understand what bookers and promoters go through the day of a show. How much, like, all right, well, the call time was this. The one person is running late, but if they were in an early match, that might screw up. Okay, I have to change the card. How do I change the card? Maybe easy, maybe difficult, depending on what scenario it is. I think everyone should book and promote and run a show because there's a lot to it. Okay, I got to book the building. I got to book a ring. I got to book wrestlers. Wait a second. Do I have enough chairs? Do I need bleachers? Okay, what's the other area of money? Concessions. What the heck am I going to sell? I need to go ahead and get the seed money to buy drinks, organize pizza, have chips. And these are stuff before you've even thought about booking the first match. But that really, you know, I just saw a building. It's in my hometown, 3 minutes away. And I was like, I think this could work. And so I committed to 2 shows. I was like, I'm going to do a show. I'm going to do another show and I'm going to see where I'm at. And we drew about 140, 150 people paid to our first show, which was definitely enough to put it in the black. Mm-hmm. And after that show, after the very first show, I was like, I'm just going to book dates out through the rest of the year. Excuse me. I worked a show the other night and I yelled and screamed so much into the microphone that I just destroyed my voice for a couple days. Oh. Absolutely occupational hazard.
Have some water.
And that's really how, I mean, the genesis was like, I think I could do this. I think I could present wrestling, you know, the product that I like. Mm-hmm. I feel very strongly you should promote the wrestling that you want to see and that you believe in, because that way it's authentic. If I tell you that I want to see a match, or if I promote any sort of match, I'm interested in it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the type of promoter who books something that I don't have interest in. Then that would be inauthentic, you know, like I book wrestlers who I personally like or who I want to see succeed. I want to give a chance to. I think they're on the come up, and it's like, all right, this. I try to have a high standard for Action Wrestling in the Southeast. Like, I want this to be one of the places, you know, that you want to come, that you want to show off your skills at. That's why being on IWTV has been so important. And we've been able to live stream almost all of our events for the last year and a half or so. So I really want to go ahead and give chances to those people who I think have a high probability of succeeding, and I want to see what they do. You never know how a match is going to go, and, you know, I just thought that I could do something where independent wrestling would be respected. Like, I just came from a meeting. It was a campaign event for a local official. he's interested in action wrestling. He introduced me to the mayor of the town next to me. And it's like, you know, I was wearing this shirt, and, you know, it's a collared shirt and I look presentable enough. And it's like, action, you know, they talk about it. When other people talk about it locally, it's like, it's an actual business. It's not just some guy like, yeah, I'm going to run wrestling and set up a ring in a parking lot. You know, it was important for me to bring something respectable. And those were all the kind of like the founding ideals that I had in mind when I wanted to go through and start.
I love that. I definitely love that. That's why I wanted to talk a little bit about that. You kind of like got into a question that I was even going to, you know, that I wanted to ask about, like, you know, like transitioning from like, you know, wrestler to like, you know, promoter, of like how much of a, you know, difference, you know, that is. So you touched base on that, because I know it's stressful, because I've been backstage at a lot of promotions and been friends with a lot of promoters and just like watched the chaos happen. And I know there's a lot that I don't even know, you know, and I don't, you know, the fans don't know that.
There is one time we had a show, and this was during the COVID times. I was running split shows. So the main event was going to go on probably about 8:10 or 8:20. We held the meeting at 6:15 and we were going to go live at 6:30. Neither of the talents who were in the main event had walked into the building yet. I hadn't seen either in the locker room yet. They were in the main event and we were going to go live at 6:30, and we had to end at 8:30 so that we could turn over the building and do our second show at 9:00. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just the first case that comes to mind. But there's so many stressful things. Like if somebody catches somebody on a dive and busts the back of their head open, and they're like 3 minutes into a match and they're gushing blood on a live stream, and you're like, oh shit, I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
And he goes to the hospital that night and gets 6 staples in his head and wrestles the next day. You know, it's, you know, certain things you just can't control, and you've got to figure out is how well you can deal with the things you can't control.
Yeah.
That really, in those moments, will tell a lot about you and if you'll be successful.
I'm laughing because I'm reading, like, the chat.
Okay.
And Landon's like, that doesn't sound like me.
Oh, no, this is an old example from, you know, another place.
Shiny Shoes goes, who the fuck was that? And Shiny Shoes also said that he's adding MySpace to my booking graphic. Philip Stamper's in the chat. What's going on, Philip? Hey, that's my birthday twin. Our birthday's Monday. Let's see. He replied to Landon, say today wasn't thinking. It totally wasn't. Ryan Redfield's in the chat. What's going on, Ryan? How are you? See? Look at that.
We got some... H2O represented, huh?
Yeah. What's going on? How are ya? What else did I miss? I thought I missed something else. So, Shiny Shoes also said, anyone not familiar with Matt, you're lucky. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. But yeah, so we got some like H2O in the building. Shout out to Tremont also, for everybody that he's like put out.
Big fan of Matt Tremont, and by extension, all of the students, even the ones I've never met, because
yeah.
Matt's a love Matt Tremont.
Definitely. So much love to him. A lot of the names you guys seen on this podcast, definitely. So, all right. So let's talk a little bit more, like, you know, about SCI a little bit. I mean, we'll go back to action because you have a show this week. So, but yeah, let's talk a little bit of SCI. So that was fun. I watched that. Congratulations. Really good. A lot of great matches, you know, that happened on this. 2 days worth it. If you guys didn't watch it on IWTV, go back, go watch it. Did you hit your goal? You hit the goal, right?
Hit the goal we were shooting for?
Yeah.
We did. I had a certain specific VOD hourly number I wanted to hit, and we did. I was happy with the live numbers. It's always hard to tell what you're going to get live because, you know, there could be other shows going on. There's other things going on, and there's, you know, a lot of people who would be streaming shows are actually in the building with us, so they're not watching live. It's always kind of funny, but I think we were pretty pleased with what we did on IWTV, and it's good. I was not a founder of the SCI brand, but I've been at every single show. all the SCI events, the Rumbles, and the other ancillary trios events and such. And it's just such a good time. We try to the best of our ability to run an outstanding show. I consider myself a steward of the brand, even though I'm not a founder, and I take that very seriously. I mean, we've already got dates in mind for July. I've already got a list an interest list of about 25 people for SCI itself. We've wow. already discussed names for the Action Future Showcase, and you know, this is all 11 months away.
Wow. See, like all in advance. Wait, let me give a shout out to Brian in the chat. You know, he's such a great graphic designer. He does a lot of...
Which Brian?
Brian F., the one that does all the graphics. He's done right?
He designed my most recent shirt. It's the one that says Action Wrestling, and it's the takeoff of the Inside Wrestling After Mag that... And it came out killer. I know he knows that because I sent him one.
That's amazing.
He said that was the first shirt he had that he designed. I was like, that's crazy. Other people don't design your merch or send you merch?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I send anybody who designs merch for me, I always send them one to make sure they have it.
That's crazy. So, but yeah, like if anybody like needs like graphics, hit him up because he does some sick graphics. So, you know, much love to him. So thanks for coming on in here. So, but yeah, no. So again, like, you know, back to like the whole SCI. You know, let's do this. Let's talk about like what's a match that like for a fan that's like, let's do SCI and let's do one for Action. For like a fan that's listening to this podcast, because I'm pretty sure like a lot of my fan base might not be familiar with, you know, Action or SCI, and maybe they are. But like what's a match from both that you would recommend highly that they should go watch to become like an instant fan of both?
Wow. I am going to say I'm going to take Action first.
Okay.
Because, you know, when people recommend matches, they often want to send out this like, oh, you should watch this All Japan 40-minute match. It's like nobody's going to watch that. When I recommend any sort of wrestling match to somebody new, I'm like Sid Vicious versus Lee Scott. It's like a minute and a half and Sid Vicious murders him and you're immediately going to be like, oh. I think the Action match that typifies the what I really wanted out of the style is from, I believe, August 2019. It features Sean Dean, who's now in All Elite Wrestling and in an office there as well. Great guy. Against Benjamin Carter, who is now on TV as Nathan Frazier in NXT. The funny story about that match is that was Ben's debut with us. It was Sean's kind of re-debut. He hadn't worked with us for a few months, and he had a completely new look. So it was like a re-debut in my head. And I told Ben, I'm like, you guys are going to wrestle for 6 minutes. And he's like, oh, man, why so short, blah, blah, blah. And I said, Ben, I'm like, listen, you can show everything that you can do in a 10 or 11-minute match. I want you to go ahead, bring people up, and then take it home at 6 minutes. So you leave them like, oh, shit, and I want to see more the next match. And it worked. And it was just they didn't do a ton, but what they did absolutely landed. Huge reactions. And I was super happy. And both those guys have been doing great in their careers too, which I just love. Both guys got contracts.
Yeah.
That's one of the goals of Action. I want everyone possible to be able to get a contract.
Definitely.
As far as SCI, man, I am going for this most recent year. I'm going to say Adam Priest and Timothy Thatcher, because that's a completely different style than the Action match. Mm-hmm. Adam Priest is currently the Action champion. Timothy Thatcher is, of course, Tim Thatcher. He's just fantastic. And he was, for what it's worth, a pleasure to have around all weekend. He was amazing. Super, super, super personable. We really enjoyed it. I'm going to say that match just because there was a lot of Southern heelness, which some people didn't like, some people did, with Adam Priest being a total Southern dick heel, which I'm a fan of. I mean, obviously I'm a fan of Adam Priest because he's my champion. And there was a lot of good wrestling. It's not as long as some people would probably hope, but it's a tournament, so we're not going to have necessarily, you know, the longer drawn out type of matches.
Right.
I think those two matches would be really indicative of the style that we like on both brands.
Definitely. It was funny because, like, I was watching it here, and for, like, I honestly thought that, like, Adam Priest was going to win. And I'm like, okay, like, typical thinking, right? Like, you're action champion, pretty much. And I was like, okay, he's going to go completely over. And then it's like he get knocked out in, like, the first, in, like, the final four. And I was like, you should see my face. I was like, I was like, yo, I was not expecting that. I was like, wow. And so then when it comes down to, like, Landon and Manders, I'm like, oh, shit. I was like, I'm thinking, I was like, oh, shit, Landon's going to go up. I was like, you know, so I'm sorry, Landon, I love you. I was rooting for you, Landon.
there were a lot of day of conversations that day. And I mean, what I mean day of, during the show, uh-huh. Between me and Scott and what we were going to do, we did change something. And you know, looking back with SEI, I enjoyed the show. What always sticks out to me, it's never what you did right. It's always what you wish you changed. It's like if you ask a poker player about the big pots that he won, it's like, hey, remember when you won 10 grand? It's like, nope, they're going to remember the time they lost a pot because that's what's going to stick in their craw. Because like, I was a 90% chance to win and I should have won, but you didn't.
Right.
Now that I've got a couple weeks, I keep looking. It's like, I wish we had done this differently. I wish we had been able to organize this differently. Some things you can do something about, some things you can't. We got lucky. We had all 16 people there. We didn't have any particular trans issues. I think the match quality for night one is the most easy to judge because everyone has singles matches. Nobody's working twice. I think everything for what my expectations were at least met, and most matches exceeded what I was hoping to get from it. So like I was very happy. What I'm unhappy with is just creative decisions, which are mine and Scott's to deal with. And that's part of it. You know, I think with a big tournament like this, there's so many ways you can go. You're both right and wrong at any given time. I've had so many people who it's like, yeah, I wish this had happened or you should have done this. And it's like, you know, we didn't. It doesn't mean they're wrong, though, because that would have been a good creative way to go. But, SEI is my favorite weekend of the year. And that SEI weekend is what literally brought me back into independent wrestling at all. So there's no action with no SEI.
I believe that. So, no, it's cool. And then I see, like, people kind of, like, travel down, you know, like, I wish I could come down, like, you know, like, hopefully, like, in a future, like, that I can come see one of the shows. Like, I always hear, like, great things to come down to, like, to Action and SEI. And, like, I hear wrestlers tell me, too, like, oh, I want to go down to Action. Like, I want to go work for there or whatever, you know. So I guess, you know, go ahead.
I'd love to hear that. I'd love to hear that because, you know, I know the type of wrestlers that you talk to. And if they're just... You know, if you have independent wrestlers that are in your area and they're just familiar with what Action is, that means a lot. If they're familiar with what SEI is, that means a lot. The fact that they want to jump in a car and it's like, yeah, I want to do that weekend. That means so much because there's so many shows, you know, the Northeast, of course, you know, through Pennsylvania, Jersey, Massachusetts, New York, has so many shows every weekend. The fact that people want to leave the area and potentially come down here is like, holy shit, that's fucking great.
Yeah. No, it's really cool, like, to see it. And, like, even, like, your showcase show, you know, so it was kind of nice, like, when you started, like, announcing, you know, and it was, like, Ichiban and Fancy Clancy, you know, so it was, like, oh, cool. Like, so I love that. And, like, a shout out to, like, Mikey at BLP, too, because I've been seeing, like, you know, like, he's been bringing people out from, like, the Northeast over there. So it's, like, because I watch, like, BLP, you know, and I'm here in New York, you know, so I'm actually watching it. And then it's kind of cool because it's like, you know, I'm starting to get familiar with the names over there, you know, and then you start seeing like names from, you know, within this area, like going over there. And then I like seeing the different kind of matches because there is so much talent out there. There's so much great talent out there. And then it's like, sometimes stuff gets stale after a while because it's like the same match over and over and over again with watching at different promotions. So you want to see something that you haven't seen before. So when you start see like the North versus the South, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, let's go. Like, you know, something different, something interesting, something that I haven't seen before. So I like that, you know, it was very interesting.
And two of my favorite matches typify from that weekend actually were not on SEI or Action Futures. It was on TWE, and they typify exactly what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I was on commentary for it's on TWE the night before, which is on IWTV. It streamed live. TWE generally goes live the night before SCI, so please check that show out as well. Ryan Clancy and Adam Priest, I was on commentary for that. I enjoyed the absolute hell out of that match, to the point where 2 days later, Ryan Clancy had done a backdrop, and I'm like, Ryan, you have to do 5 backdrops in this match. I'm like, I want you to count them. I want you to hit 5. And I'm like, boom, 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 boom. And then the other guy feeds in, and boom. It might have been semi, but Ichiban versus the TWE champ, Darian Bankston. You know, it's those two matches with talents who I don't even know that they'd ever met each other. And, you know, with that North versus South feel, and we got two really interesting matches out of it. You know, in the Southeast, we're really trying to make sure we tell stories. So it's often a challenge to make sure we include, you know, we want to write people into our stories and have reasons that matches happen often. But, you know, I've really been happy with so many of the things I've seen out in Northeast. And Ichiban and Ryan Clancy took, you know, they invested in themselves, came down for a weekend, and I hope it paid off and was worthwhile for them.
Yeah,
they definitely impressed when they were down here.
That's amazing. But yeah, all those shows were like good. So I love seeing all that. But, you know, let's swing back, because like you again, you know, you brought up in the beginning of the podcast that, you know, you came up to Mass, and I definitely had to come up because I was like, okay, great. I was like, Adam Priest had told me he was coming up, and I was like, okay, I got to come up there. And then it's like, you have Culture Inc. And then it was like a bunch of, you know, South people coming up, you know, and then Landon had told me that you were coming up for like the weekend too. So I was like, oh, okay. I was like, I have to take the trip up to Massachusetts. I was like, cause I want to see everybody, you know, and meet people that I haven't met, before. So, but like you said, you were doing a little scouting yourself, like you were checking out what was going on at Wrestling Open, you know. So it's like,
anytime I'm at a show, honestly, unless I have a reason I have to hide, I mean, like you saw where I was, I tried to hide by sound, and I tried to do the whole every time I knew the hard cam was gonna, you know, catch people come or the camera was gonna pick people coming out of the curtain. You know, I want to be live in the building. I want to see what people are reacting to. I want to see show, like, how they're formatting it. How quickly are they turning over matches? What's the announcer saying? Mm-hmm. I want to watch the matches in person. Like, I have, you know, and I've run shows where people come visit and then they hang out in the locker room the whole time. And it's cool to get to hang out with friends, but I'm looking and thinking about it from a promoter standpoint of, like, what can I learn? What can I see? You know, you know, potentially scouting. There were people I've been familiar with for a couple of years on that show, for example, that I'd never met. It was cool to meet some of the guys who I was somewhat familiar with, and, you know, many of them knew who I was. I mean, my Twitter picture looks exactly like me.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then I had somebody come up, I think it was Pedro, who came up and just complimented my shoes. He didn't even know I was a promoter. So.
Right.
You know, whenever I go to a show, it's like I want to sit there. I want to sit in the crowd and watch and see and experience, because it's like, what can I take from this? You know, whether it's like I want to do this or I don't want to do this, and add it into what we do down here and maybe make it better.
Definitely. So, yeah, there's so much. Like I said, like I'm constantly watching stuff. And then even like on Twitter, you know, like I post clips at shows and stuff. And then like, you know, you'll see wrestlers like share stuff, you know, and then I'll find people. Like, shout out to Trayvon Jordan. I found Diego Hall, Diego Hill, one day. He was like,
Diego
Tiff.
Hill, yes.
Yeah, he was like, Tiff, you're gonna fucking love him. He was like, I know what you like. Like, yeah, you're gonna like, it's so good. And like, we're having like a conversation like on Twitter, you know, from that. But like, again, like, that's the nice thing of the power of social media. And then you can like follow them.
A few years ago, it was, oh God. Alex Zane got discovered by that because of that gif he did
the
backyard match.
Yeah, against Tony Deppen.
With the Tony Deppen match. That it was like that clip like got him to Japan. It's like, holy shit, you know, it's like if he just was like, nah, I'm gonna go light up fireworks on the 4th of July and doesn't wanna do the show, it's like, is he in Japan? Like, you have to literally go back and think about those things. And, you know, so, think, you know, trying to learn about wrestlers or show others and post clips is so important because, oh, I want to see about that person. I mean, like you just mentioned Diego Hill. That's how Diego Hill got on in, like, is it Prestige or West Coast Pro? It was one of those way out there. Mm-hmm. Might have been Prestige, and he got a shot out on one of those shows because of, you know, because he looked good on Twitter, which made the promoter look. And so that matters a lot.
Yeah. Is there, like, anything, like, particular that, like, you're looking for, like, when you book, if you're looking for, like, new people to come into action to wrestle who you have?
I mean, what stands out to me are generally going to be, like, the professionals and things. Like, do they look like they belong? Do they understand their character? It's not always the moves that they do. It's how well they do the moves that they do. Like, you don't have to do moonsaults, and you don't have to do, you know, if you can do five chops, okay. But if you can do one chop and get it over and have that be a moment, you know, that can be more effective than doing multiple chops. It's like, can you understand timing? Can your transitions and your in-betweens look good? The outside of the ring stuff, I don't really watch promos that get sent to me because I don't have a lot of my wrestlers talk. Mm-hmm. That's less important. But how is their presence? Like, if you watch a match with the Skulk, Adrian Alanis and Liam Gray, you know that their entrance is not a 30-second entrance. That's a big part of what they do, and you feel it. And a lot of people just absolutely hate them. And they get heat just on their entrance before they've even touched the apron. There's lots of people who, you know, they come in, they slide in the ring, and there's, like, nothing there. Maybe it's because they're too young or they just don't understand their character or what they can bring. It's always those type of things. It's rarely like, can you do a moonsault? Because I'm going to assume if you're doing it, you can. Can you do a suplex? Can you do a body slam? And it's rarely, it's like never are you going to do something fucking stupid, because anyone can do something stupid. I've done that myself. It's the small things, because those are what are going to make you stand out. I've been sent lots of matches that people thought were good, and I'm like, this is adequate. This is average. You executed the moves like they were supposed to be executed, and you had a 7-minute match, and nobody got hurt. I'm like, that's not, you know, I'm trying to be a cut above. Mm-hmm. I consider Action Wrestling to be a promotion that's based in Georgia, but not really a Georgia promotion. I want to be a national independent wrestling show. I want to be seen on IWTV Weekly. That's one of the reasons we bring in people. So I want to, you know, we bring in people from lots of different states. And that's why I want to have a higher level and a higher expectation. Like, if you get on an action show, you've definitely done something right. I know that's probably a bit cocky, but, you know, I definitely want there to be a very clear delineation of, like, this. When I give a booking, it matters.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm starting to regret sitting outside because there's mosquitoes.
Oh, so no.
I may relocate inside for a moment. Fine. We're gonna go on a walk.
We're going on a tour.
Hey, I'm used to change of stuff on the fly.
Don't get bit. Those mosquitoes out there, pretty much. I was told the other day, because I had a really bad mosquito bite the other day, and I'm like, they're so annoying, you know, and it's like nothing works. So they told me to take a spoon, run it under hot water, but not like boiling hot that you're gonna burn your skin or whatever like that. Take the back of the spoon and then like put it on the spot, and it instantly takes the sting out. And I was like, let me see about, and it worked. And I was like, oh, okay. So now you know. The more you know that's out there. Well, let's do a fan question here. Actually, it was from Landon. He shot me over some fan questions this morning, a couple of them. So he told me to say, when we walk with him, are we free?
What? That's a reference to something I'm going to get later. I had 2 beers right before we started this, so I'm drunk.
Dead. It's gonna, like, we're gonna go off the air. He's gonna be like, now I know what that means. It's like, yep. So, all right. So his second question was, what made you want to become a wrestler?
I can't really explain it. I've been asked that so many times, and I can't really explain. I went to my first show when I was 11, and I just thought it was super cool. I thought these wrestlers were superheroes. I never thought I could do it, though. Mm-hmm. I didn't really take off physically until I joined the Marines. And then, of course, I suddenly became instantly in good shape. And it just seems super cool because you can, you know, you can manipulate people. And you can improvise, too. It's like you can make people emote if you're doing like Shakespeare, but you still have to say the next words. You know, you can't improvise it if you're doing a play. You can't improvise if you're doing a musical. But like if we got 8 minutes and our first spot is we're supposed to lock up and do something like that, I can look at the other guy, and if the crowd's giving me some shit, I can just take a powder and go outside the ring and be like, all right, I'll get back to it when I feel like it. I did a show Friday night. And I had a certain spiel I was going to say. I'm like, this is how I'm going to start off. This is going to be the first 10 to 15 seconds. And I get like 5 seconds in and they're giving me such shit. I just pull the microphone down. I'm going to let them react to me. I'm not going to talk over them. And then I pick it back up and finish. And you can, you know, having people in control and having people either absolutely loving you to the point where they're chanting your name or they absolutely hate you. That's a very cool threat.
That's pretty cool.
And you get to do it sometimes while, you know, having grown men throw you around, and sometimes you land awkwardly and get hurt. And, you know, I've done the most ridiculous things wearing a pair of biker tight spandex. So I don't know. It's fun. It's just, it just accesses that like childlike play that, you know, I still want to play as a child. It's like, you know, it's the reason that grown adults still play video games, because it's fun as shit.
There you go. And by the way, the answer to the first question was, he goes, Creed, My Sacrifice.
I didn't even hear. Wait, what did he say?
Creed, My Sacrifice. But his boat. He goes, when we walk with him, are we free?
You did not deliver that correctly then.
Well, he texted to me. I'm sorry. He just told me to tell you that. I thought maybe it was something else. I didn't realize it was a song. I thought it was like an inside joke. I thought.
Well, it's actually an inside joke because I did a year-long Angling Action and finally came back in the ring in 2019. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what's the absolute stupidest song that will sound like I'm halfway serious but will be so dumb to use as entrance music? So came out to my
like Creed, though. I saw them live. They were awesome.
I will tell you that I love Creed, but I'm like, this is the dumbest fucking song that I think about. It's got a super long, dumb intro.
All right. His next question is, where or how did you come up with the legendary JC North?
Kayfabe. What I say?
Should
we?
Yeah.
Well, JC North was the wrestling name that I wrestled under for 8 years. JC was a girl I had a crush on in high school, and I thought it was a cool name, and I wanted something unique because so many indie wrestling names like bled together, just absolutely all sounded alike. And no comment on the second half.
Oh, okay. All right, so we're gonna move on to the other one. So then he said, favorite match as JC North and favorite match as a spectator. I like that.
My favorite match as a spectator. Jeez, I can't even imagine. The favorite match I ever did. The favorite match I ever had is probably gonna be. It's so dumb. I mean, I wrestled, he's still active today. His name's Preston Quinn. we wrestled back in like 1999 or 2000 a few times. So we did a 2 out of 3 falls match that was at a training school in a garage, and there were like probably like 100 something people there. And, you know, we went out and we just tried to absolutely kill it, but kill it in a way of not like, all right, we're going to do moonsaults and power bombs and shit. We're going to like execute and really like get over intensity. And, you know, it's a match that, you know, you have to be very old to have seen. It did get taped and uploaded a couple places. I know people want to say it's like the Jimmy Rave or Slim J matches or something, AJ. And it's like, no, I like that stuff, but those are TV matches for a different purpose. Mm-hmm. Favorite match as a spectator. My God. It's definitely, I mean, just, you know, there's so many because I'm proud as a promoter. I'm just proud of them that when I give opportunities to wrestlers that they've earned, mm-hmm. and it's like, all right, here's a spot, here's what we want, and they just go out and completely smash it and exceed expectations. I think it's generally all those type of matches for me. I mean, I could say like, you know, Flair and Funk from '89, I Quit, and Flair and Steamboat, and yada yada. I will tell you the one match that makes me cry.
Okay.
I would put a towel up here or something like that. It's the end of Macho Warrior from WrestleMania 7 when they're doing all the post-match stuff where he and Elizabeth get back together. Mm-hmm. More than once I've had tears in my eyes because of that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, legit shoot tears.
Wow.
Many times.
Wow. There you go. You got the exclusive pretty much over there, guys. We have a fan tweet. So this one's from Good Cop, Bad Cop. He goes, late question. He goes, but with Griffin being half lion, half eagle, which wrestler's top half and which wrestler's bottom half would you choose to make the greatest mythical indie wrestler?
I'm dead. Wow.
He put some thought into that one.
I am going to say the top half being like when he was jacked up getting his championship run, Jinder Mahal.
Okay.
I fucking love Jinder Mahal. When he won the title, they had on SmackDown the next week, they had a giant dance celebration that came out. I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And I'm going to say the bottom half, just to accentuate how awesome the top half of Jinder is. The bottom half is like El Torito.
That's awesome. Oh my God, that's funny.
I'm not going to be a creep with that. And I'm not going to with women wrestlers. I'm sorry. We're not doing that.
No, I'm sure he'll appreciate that. So shout out to Good Cop.
But for any you can say for any women wrestler questions, just say shout out to Mackenzie, because if she finds out, she'll text me later and be like, what were you talking about?
That was great. Thanks for that question, Good Cop, Bad Cop.
That is a great question. You know what? That's absolutely one of those, as soon as you click end podcast, I'm going to be like, I know a great one.
I'm going to have to like clip it and then I'll post it. And I feel like that could be just like a fun question that feed off of that clip, you know, that like other people can comment under
it. I want to do like all the body parts, like the arms and like the shoulders, like the hair, the completely jacked up, who's got the best chest. Oh my God, I want to really break that down.
Oh no. I feel like that's what they've been like, Shiny Shoes, shout out to you. I feel like that you should just dedicate a podcast for that.
Yes, Shiny Shoes, get on that.
I'm here for that. All right, so, you know, we're going to break down action a little bit because I have the graphics here. But so you have a show coming up this week. So obviously, like, break down, you know, for the fans now, like, you know, where can they watch it? How much are tickets? You know, obviously, there's tickets still on sale. How much is that?
Yeah, it's Tuesday right now as we tape this, and we are going to be live in a couple days on Friday, August 11th. It's going to be at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. It will be live on IWTV. If you're in the Southeast, we do run our shows just outside of Atlanta in Tyrone, Georgia. You can find out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Just type in the words Action Wrestling, and we should come up. But tickets start at $15. They're available at Action. It's the word Action. There's a hyphen, and then the word wrestling.com. This is an interesting show for us, too. This is going to be a really interesting one. But please, we try to stream all of our shows on IWTV.live. We're really the only promotion in the Southeast that's really doing that regularly right now. So I think that gives us a leg up, and that means a lot. And I hope we've been a trailblazer with IWTV, because there have been some other promotions in Georgia that have jumped on, which I think is great. I mean, we hosted Southeast First, and that was a show I very much wanted, and I wanted to help other promotions in the Southeast. So I'm obviously very on board with bettering the entire scene. But this is an interesting show because we just had, I mean, the two most emotional moments we've had have involved AC Mac. Mm-hmm. One was when he won the IWTV championship, and the other was last show when he did a surprise, not retirement, but goodbye speech. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell anybody. I don't think he had told most of the wrestlers, because I went right before the segment and pulled a bunch of, hey, come on out for AC's speech. It wasn't on the sheet. We didn't have anything planned for time. I told him to say whatever he was going to say. And there were people tweeting that they were crying and had tears in their eyes while they were watching on IWTV. And I can tell you that there were a lot of tears in the building, including my own 8-year-old, because it got caught on the stream. Mm-hmm. That AC comes over and sits with him and tries to console him. If you watched it, that's my son. AC meant and still does mean a lot to us. And, you know, this is the first show we've had. He's literally in 5.5 years missed one event. And that was because a show was rescheduled. And I think he had concert tickets for the rescheduled show, mm-hmm. show date. He meant a lot to me personally. He was the very first guy that we put out the curtain on my first show. It was like, I don't know what the crowd's going to be like, but I do know if we get a good talker, we can go ahead and educate them that it's okay to cheer and boo. So that was AC's job on our first show. So now we're in essentially the post AC Mac era, and we've got to see. We just announced Bobby Flacco versus Teriyaki tonight for that show. Teriyaki is somebody who's been definitely coming up the last year. He just went on a Japan tour. He's wrestled around the country. Good kid. He came to us when he was just starting training and did some of our Next Up events. We featured him in a tag team a couple times. And, you know, he's somebody that we're taking a look at. There's going to be a few other talents that we're taking a look at, too. It's very much a kind of figuring out where we are post-AC Mac show. At the same time, we've got, I'll just say it. I've said it before. I think Adam Priest is the best wrestler in the country who's never had a contract. He's the Action champion. He's defending against Billy Starks. Everyone knows her resume, and she's probably the most driven person on wrestling on the indies today. It's definitely the type of show where people have the opportunity to stand out and kind of make their case, where it's like, hey, this is why I deserve to be featured and get a push. So it's a really interesting show. I'm a lot looser about it than I am for most shows. It's like, well, we're definitely going to see what we have in some cases. Like Shiny Shoes' good friend Cody Manhorn's in a tag match. It's the Squatting Dragon's first tag match, 2-on-2 that they're having at Action. We're debuting a new tag team called an Offside Heroes. There's going to be lots of opportunities. So It's really going to be a show that sets the table for the rest of the year, and I have a bunch of shows to announce for the rest of the year too. So, whoever wants those spots, come and get them.
Ooh, you know, it's definitely. I'm looking forward to Rico and Brogan on Friday, so that should be fun. Yeah, so definitely like two talents that should be a little more everywhere, I feel like.
Two guys who, you know, it's been less than 2 years for both of them, where they've been to the point where they are getting out there, and you know, both of them have been traveling. Rico had a really fun match with Jade Newman about a month ago at Freelance. Mm-hmm. You know, Rogan's been wrestling in Black Label Pro, for example. Those are, you know, shows that happen about 12 hours away from Georgia. Mm-hmm. You know, they've both put in a lot of time on the road. Those are two guys that we're definitely going to be looking at too. So, you know, it's, I don't regret that AC's gone because he made his own choice. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy for him that he did. And he had the guts to go ahead and decide like, hey, I'm still going to be around. I'm going to hang out, but I'm just not going to wrestle. But now it's time to figure out, say, all right, who wants to step into those type of roles? Who's going to be the next, you know, in that AC Mac role? You know, people pop when they would hear AC Mac's music. I mean, heck, they would even chant for him sometimes when they knew he was coming out before his music was started.
Yeah. So
it's like, who's going to be that wrestler to get that reaction?
And it's cool to see, like, again, like the traveling alone, and like, again, AC Mac I've seen up in Jersey plenty, and then, you know, Rico and Brogan, I've seen. Even like Brogan was at Blitzkrieg not too long ago. I was watching that, and you know, the matches that he had, like being the little Rumble, winning, getting into the title picture was pretty good too. Like, you know, that last show at Blitzkrieg, you know. So it's nice. It's nice to see everybody. I'm excited also too for Adam Priest and Billy. So that should be like a really fun show. So I'm throwing up the graphics for everybody. So like, you know, some other names here. You know, a lot of people are familiar with Ava Everett and Devlin McBree, who I've seen also too. I think she went up to open, if I'm right.
She did. She went to open. Devlin Macabre wrestled Kelsey Reagan at open.
Yeah.
And what was interesting is they came in kind of with like their own self-contained storyline.
Mm-hmm.
They had a nice match. I made sure to watch that.
Yeah.
Devlin's been somebody I've been interested in because I would talk to her, see her. She came in and did a tryout match. She had a match with Billy. She went, and then she went to Germany. She went overseas and did a European tour and trained with WXW.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be a title match for Devlin. I mean, she made a very good promo video challenging and calling out Ava Everett for her WXW women's title, but she lost it to Delmi Exo, so yeah. it's not a title match anymore. But
right.
You know, but Ava Everett, of course, as you know, she doesn't have the title, but she's been doing a lot of good things.
Mm-hmm.
Too. She had been defending that title, you know, all over. Yeah. And I know Devlin is going back to Germany in September, I believe. So, you know, you have those two women are traveling the world. You know, and that's what we like to feature here.
Yeah.
I like to feature wrestlers who matter, and you know, they want to come in, which is just the hugest compliment to me, in my opinion.
Oh, definitely.
Be here.
Definitely. Like I said, like legit, like, you know, I've talked to wrestlers about like them wanting to like go down to Action, that they'd be a good fit, you know? So, there's always wrestlers that hit me up and they're like, well, where do you think like my style will fit? And, like, I try to recommend some like places all the time, you know, like with their styles of, you know, wrestling. So, but Action's come up a lot, you know.
Thanks.
So that's awesome. So hit them up, you know, you never know, like, shoot your shot pretty much, you know.
I mean it's so difficult because there's, you know, I get hit up by so many wrestlers,
yeah,
who are good and belong on the type of shows.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so tough because there's not enough spots, because you know, I have a crew of regulars who I do try to rotate, and I do try to bring in travelers. I'm hopeful. I've been in discussions with another promoter about sharing carloads. I send him a carload, he sends me one, and that helps our talent work in different areas. You know, it's so hard because there are so many wrestlers out there, and there's lots of shows, but they're not always the best. You know, you want to be on the shows that are seen.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, there's so many talent. There's so many talented wrestlers I would love to be able to use. And you know, the hardest thing is, like, to be told as a wrestler, I know, is just wait, bide your time.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to. Because that's not what you feel like you should be. It's like, I got to be proactive. I got to go get this.
Right.
Just had to tell somebody no today because, I mean, I have no spots and they just wouldn't fit right now.
Mm-hmm. So, well, actually, usually how I end a lot of my podcasts, and you're like one of the perfect people for this pretty much, is, you know, because of the fact that you are a wrestler and you are a promoter and everything like that, like, what's a piece of advice that, you know, you would give like another wrestler, maybe like an amateur wrestler, you know, that's starting to getting into the business, maybe somebody that's coming that is thinking of getting into the business, you know, maybe some tips for those guys out there?
Wow. That is a super deep question. It really is. Because, you know, I want to go beyond the training, right. You know, my advice as far as anything physical is, make sure you're in the best cardio shape possible, because it will make your everything in the in-ring look better if you're not winded. Make sure that your in-ring trend, like your transitions, your selling, and I don't just mean, you know, I mean everything you're selling. I don't mean just selling like, oh, I got body slammed, I got this doesn't mean like go, you know, go that far. It's like that's everything. Like, you know, when you're talking to the referee, you know, how do you sell a chop if you take it 2 minutes into the match, 5 minutes into the match, 10 minutes in the match? None of those should be the same.
Right.
If you make a chop, your hand should fucking hurt. It's all the little transitions. It's not if you do a suplex, it's how you got into it.
Right.
Is your chain wrestling in the beginning believable? Do you have intensity? Does it look like I should, like, based on your opening lockup and first 10 seconds, is this a match I should be watching? Because I can tell you, I've been sent matches and I know seconds in, sometimes I even know on the entrance that this is not a person I need to take seriously. Now the flip side of that is, just because you are a person who gets told some advice that you might not want to hear, it's not necessarily that you're not ready. It's that you're not ready yet. You have to keep at it. And there are so many people so many wrestlers who get bitter, whether it's at bookers or at promoters, or like, oh, they just won't give me a chance. They want this, they want this. And they cost themselves opportunities, but they cost themselves opportunities before they legitimately had a chance. Because I made a tweet a week or two ago that people loved and got a lot of reaction, which was weird because my Twitter has been, since Melonhead Musk took over, not been as engaging. It was just like, I love to turn the corner on a wrestler that I didn't like and be like, all right, now I'm really into him. There's somebody I'm very specifically thinking of that I have booked in the past. And I remember seeing a match. The first time I saw a match was in 2018. I was like, I don't think anything of this freaking guy. And then he stayed with it and he kept developing himself. He kept developing his in-ring. And I got him. And I really like this person. I booked him. I will absolutely not say a name. Because it's not about embarrassing somebody.
Of course. Yeah.
But I love seeing young wrestlers turn the corner. We do a training program before our shows. It's essentially anybody who shows up gets a trial match, and we will give feedback. And it's often wrestlers like Dom Greeny and Kevin Koo, when they come in, they sit and watch those matches and give feedback. Shug D, Alex Kane, Dylan Hales, Jaden Newman, several others, you know, O'Shea Edwards, when he comes in, he will sit his ass down, he will watch it, and then he will go talk to us. It's like you're getting advice from people. Like O'Shea Edwards literally had flown in from doing a week of ROH TV and is giving advice to people. It's like, take that, because in 6 months, if you're taking those advices, you'll be better. It's just don't burn yourself out before you even credibly have a chance. I have so many wrestlers who have just been absolute fucking geeks to me, And they cost themselves, like, I don't want to watch them in the future because it's like, you're not mature. You are literally not mature. And if I do not want to be around a person, I do not care who it is. There are TV wrestlers who, if they wanted to come in and it's like, yeah, I'll come in for $50 or $100, I would not want them to be around because it would revolt me because I literally don't want to be around them. Just be as personable as you can, soak up every bit of knowledge that you can, and just never stop trying and never stop getting into the conversation. And if you're around enough and if you've improved enough, you will get your shots, you will get your chances.
That's deep.
I mean, I will tell you a story of a guy. I met him at a show in 2018 and he needed some cash and I had cash, and I was standing at the Evolve show talking with a friend of mine. I'd helped sell tickets, had a promo code and all that through Action. And I'm talking with my friend. Oh, okay. Hey, just don't go to an ATM. Here's some cash. Just Venmo me. Okay. You're a wrestler. Okay. I run shows. Send me some stuff. Comes in and does one of my next up tryout matches. He eventually gets a little something on an Action show. It's not much. Basically lost in probably about 4 minutes to Adam Priest. Eventually got on the Future Showcase, got on a feature match on the Future Showcase, and then just finished, was the runner-up in SCI a couple weeks ago. He worked literally up from meeting me and exchanging names to where he earned his way into the finals of what I feel is one of the most prestigious tournaments in the Southeast. And it was just because he kept working on his game and he was easy and personable to deal with.
I love that.
And he got six staples in his head.
Landon Love. All the land in love, pretty much. Nah, I'm happy for him. It's so good.
It drives me so crazy when I see people. It's like, because you're young and immature, you're going to cost yourself. Promoters talk.
Yeah.
Like I often, if I get, hey, what about this person? I've literally crossed names off of lists because it's like, oh, well, that person was a geek, or that person had an issue, or that person caused a problem in a locker room. It's like, they were on the list to possibly be used, and now they're not.
I hear that. It, like, references, other promoters, like, do references in that sense. Like, oh, how's he in the background? Like, how is he? Like, these are things. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of young talent. You need to take this into consideration here. So yep. That was funny. Yep. It's like a lot of stuff, like, I kind of already, like, know, like, that you're, like, saying. There's a lot that don't know, and I'm not even in the business. I'm just your podcaster here.
The thing that people forget is that the first word in the term professional wrestling is professional. You got to be professional before you can be a wrestler.
Yeah.
Because I can work with you if you're professional and not a good wrestler. Mm-hmm. I can't work with you at all if you're not professional and a very good wrestler. That's just not an option at all. You can be really, there's great wrestlers. Oh gosh, I'm definitely thinking of people now, but they're difficult to deal with, so I won't.
So this has probably been like one of the best advice questions that you've answered, and I'm on episode 228. And I honestly think this was probably like one of the best advice that you can give out there, because I know there's a lot of wrestlers like in training still that haven't even like debuted that listen to my interviews. And that's like one of their favorite questions of me asking wrestlers, promoters, all that stuff like that.
Good.
So,
and I gave you the short abridged version. Yeah. I could have gone longer.
So if you guys want more, dig a deep, slide in those DMs.
Hard. It's so hard. People don't realize that how hard and difficult the wrestling business is. Yeah. And as hard as it is, it's easy to get into now. It was so much more difficult when I got into, and that was 25 years ago, which was simple compared to how it was in the 70s, you know, because, you know, you literally had to, you know, get the shit beat out of you and get shot on, and probably, you know, and, you know, there's plenty of stories of guys who got stretched, you know, all the Stu Hart dungeon stuff where guys in shape got stretched out in one day, threw up, and never went back. It's like, you know, Ric Flair quit. He's one of the biggest stars in the history of the business. He quit. Vern Gagne went back and was like, fuck you, come back to training.
Wow.
Yeah. It's hard. There's a lot of people who think it's supposed to be easy, and you can do every single thing right, and it still won't happen for you.
I believe
you
that.
You can do everything. You can be over. You can be in shape. You can be easy to deal with, and it still might not happen.
There's a lot of talent out there. A lot. So, but yeah, so everybody, like, tune in to Action this Friday. It's on IWTV. I mean, it's only $10. I mean, you can't go wrong if you don't have IWTV. Like,
promo code Action.
Look at that. Got a promo code. So I think, what is it, they give a couple of days free? I think it is.
It's not days free anymore, but it helps me out a lot.
Oh, so put it in there, you know?
Yes.
Put that code in, you know, help them out a little bit, pretty much. Tune in, watch all the back stuff, give them some more views.
I need to get my my Jerry Bucks.
There you go, the Jerry Bucks. Shout out to Jerry. Much love. So here, I'm going to flash over, if you guys are watching this on the video, I'm going to flash over the match graphics for you, get, you know, again, so you can, like, definitely tune in, check it out. You know, you can watch a backlog, again, on IWTV. So I'll be tuning in. Live tweet. That's a big thing, too. I live tweet a lot. I had somebody ask me because, what was it? I remember it was a while ago, because I remember you, like, answered the person. She had asked me about Adam Priest. And then she had asked me what was a good match. I was trying to think of somebody that she knew, that he wrestled, that she was familiar with in Massachusetts. So, of course, I went with Anthony Henry. So the last one where Priest won the belt back, the Action. So I told her to go watch that. So,
wild.
It was really good. Yeah, so I remember her, like, tweeting it, because she was like, okay. She was like, I know you like Adam Priest. She was like, she goes, give me a match. And, like, so I'm pretty good like that. It's like, a lot of people always ask me for, like, for recommendations, and I try to think of stuff of people that they know, working someone that they're not familiar with. So that's how they become, like, a fan. So, but yeah, it was kind of cool even coming up to Wrestle Open, seeing him, and, like, people were like, oh, okay, like, well, Tiffany likes him, so we're going to watch him.
It was his match with Alec Price 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the second time they wrestled, but it was so good. But if you watch it, Adam Priest doesn't do a lot.
Yeah.
He gets so much mileage out of being intense, wrestling hard, and just being character, just being Adam Priest, and essentially, like, hating everything.
Yeah, and pushing me out of the way. You saw he shoved me. I'm like, God damn it. I was talking to the photographer. He was like, because I was going to get dived at, so I ran. And then I was talking to the photographer. Then all of a sudden he comes, and I'm like, really? I'm like, you son bitch. Like, all right.
When he put on Steven Stetson's hat and then gave an elbow drop, I was just laughing my ass off. It looked so ridiculous and so funny, but it fit him so well. It was just like, it was just a very authentic character. He was very authentic. He wasn't like, you know, he was just being himself. He was being a giant wise ass, you know?
I love it. It was funny because another promoter and me were talking recently, and I was like, did you watch the match? I said, at Limitless. I was like, did you watch the four-way? And then he was like, yeah. I was like, you need to bring him in. I was like, you have to bring him. He's like, I love Adam Priest. He was like, he's like the typical old school scumbag heel wrestler that I like. He goes, that you don't see. And I was like, definitely. So I think I got him a booking somewhere.
Oh, God. Adam is so good. And it's so, I mean, I hate to say it's easy for him because he works so hard. I mean, half the time I talk to him, he's like, yeah, I'm in the gym. And, you know, he puts in the effort, but it just makes it look so easy in the ring because he's actually a very cerebral and smart wrestler. And so is Anthony Henry. That's why they, I think, paired off so well.
Yeah.
They had five matches over the course of a year that all stood out and were good and unique and different.
Definitely.
And, you know, he's definitely somebody who, you know, I want him on every show I have.
Yeah. Definitely great, so much great talent out there. So But yeah, so everybody, like, all those links are in the description below if you want to click. I mean, if you want to, like, go over everything once again before we get out of here, of, like, you know, where they can follow you, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, you can follow Action Wrestling on Twitter. It's the word wrestle, WRESTLE, action, and the number one. We are Action Wrestling and the number one on Facebook and Instagram. And what's the other one? Threads?
Yeah.
That everyone was into for about 5.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Also, like, check out free. Please go ahead and subscribe on YouTube. That would really help us out. It's youtube.com/actionwrestling. That's all one word. You can follow me personally at Matt the Mouth. You can follow SCI at SCI Tournament on Twitter. And please, you know, feel free, if you're not familiar with Action, please get familiar with Action on IWTV. Every single thing we've done, every single match we've had is up there. There's a lot of good stuff. We've had a lot of wrestlers. We're very proud to have a lot of wrestlers come through on their way to television contracts.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Definitely worth the check out. So if you've got IWTV already, go check it out so you won't be disappointed. Go watch the show Friday. I mean, it's going to be really, really good. So, and live tweet it. So that helps out everything as well. So, but Matt, thank you for coming on here, chatting with us a little bit. So, you know, I'm glad that we finally got to do that. I'm glad we got to meet.
I know. That was very exciting. It was very cool to, it was just so random at Wrestling Open. I was up in Worcester for a family thing, and oh, all my champions with Adam Priest and Culture Inc. are going to be there too.
Yeah.
And oh, Lando's going to come visit. Oh, she says Tiffany's going to be there. I get to meet Tiffany. That's awesome. It's really cool when we get to do that. That's why I love big wrestling show get-togethers, where I can, you know, sometimes at SCI, people would introduce themselves, and it's like, what's your Twitter handle? Because I don't know your first name. It's like, what's your Twitter handle? Because I know there's definitely a chance I will know you from.
Yeah.
Oh, you're at Stone Cold 316 DX on Twitter. Okay, that's you. Yeah. Those garbage takes. Cool. Thanks for coming.
I'm dead. Awesome. So anyway, well, thank you, and you know, thanks for all the fans and the wrestlers and all, you know, refs and everybody who, like, popped into the chat. You know, I hope you give Action a chance, you know, so after listening to this podcast. So a lot of names I brought up have already been on this podcast already, so you can go back and watch those interviews as well. So we'll get Shiny Shoes up in here soon, definitely, so we can talk about all the great stuff going on with him. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so with that being said, thank you guys again. Stay safe, support independent wrestling, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a good night.